Real House, a DC Comics fanfic, part 2 of Superman Red and Blue, issue number 1. Written by I Loved You. Read by Dr. Fumbles McStupid. With the rating, mature. The archive warning, creator chose not to use archive warnings. The relationships, Clark Kent / Bruce Wayne, and can be read as Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne. Additional tags, implied reference torture. Implied referenced rape / non-con. Canonical rape / non-con. Point of view, Clark Kent. Crying. Hopeful ending. Aftermath of torture. Implied / referenced kidnapping. Relationship issues. Childhood memories. Kryptonians, DCU. Loss of powers. Kryptonite, DCU. Despair and brain fog. Summary.
I wanted to be an astronomer, Clark spoke. As a kid, he added. His voice was cracked from screaming, and his throat raspy. His words were not loud enough to echo, even empty as the space was. Bruce's rhythmic breathing was disrupted. He must have been meditating. Giving up on the pretense of sleep, Bruce rolled so his back was no longer facing Clark, stared back at him across the small room.
Yeah?
He asked. His voice was not cracked from screaming. Rather, raw from crying. Missing scene from Bruce and Clark's time captured in Lubania.
Do you remember running? The purity of the air around. Into a crown. That love is all I want. I'm a child humming into the clarity of black space, where stars shine like tears on the night's face, with a cool wind.
There was a dripping silence in their cell. A lack of anything oppressed Clark. He could not hear beyond Bruce's shallow breaths. He could not see any further than the cell walls. He could not smell anything but his own skin and dried blood. There was nothingness, the likes of which Clark had not felt since he was a child. He wanted to scream and cry and pull out his hair, but he was much, much too tired. Clark's cot was so empty. Clark was desperate for someone, something to blame, and he blamed himself for being Kryptonian. Exhausted, full of pain, Clark turned his head towards Bruce and saw him pretending to sleep, despite everything. What happened between them? Koslov, obviously, but no. Clark could pinpoint the exact moment everything between them broke. It had been after it happened the first time, but...
I'm a grown man,
Clark reminded himself.
I can think the word. It doesn't matter.
It had been after Clark had been raped the first time by Koslov's men. He was dragged, broken, back to his cell, and had barely managed to stand as they shut the door behind him. He wanted to call out to Bruce, to beg and be held by him. It hurt, he could say, in a way he had never known, humiliatingly and painfully. He would come to know that humiliation quite well over the next few months. He was ashamed. Instead of saying anything, he'd stared at Bruce with watery eyes. And Bruce had come towards him. He had moved to catch Clark, arms outstretched. And the moment his pointer finger had brushed against Clark's feverish skin, it barely made contact. Hardly anything. Clark had pulled away. Jerked away. Violently. Painfully. Fearfully. That was the moment Clark could pinpoint. He knew, in that instant, as soon as he pulled away, something in their relationship was irrevocably changed. Ruined, Clark would say. Their relationship broken in an unsalvageable way. Bruce would probably see it differently. Clark wouldn't know. Clark stared at Bruce with watery eyes now. He thought about his ma and pa. What if something had happened to them? What if the stress of Clark's capture had led his pa to have another heart attack? What if Clark were human? What if they had never found him? What if Krypton had never exploded? What if my parents had never sent me away to Earth? Clark grit his teeth, and it hurt. Not the teeth themselves, but the energy it took just to do that made him hurt.
I wanted to be an astronomer, Clark spoke. As a kid, he added.
His voice was cracked from screaming, and his throat raspy. His words were not loud enough to echo, even empty as the space was. Bruce's rhythmic breathing was disrupted. He must have been meditating. Giving up on the pretense of sleep, Bruce rolled so his back was no longer facing Clark, stared back at him across the small room.
Yeah?
He asked. His voice was not cracked from screaming, rather raw from crying.
I saved my allowance to buy a telescope.
Clark's parents were as generous as they could be with his allowance. They were so grateful for his help, his super strength. Even if Clark himself did not understand why, at the time, he'd had it. Maybe just for him.
I saved for months and months. Did you get one?
I showed my parents the money I had saved. Clark's voice cracked, and he cleared it. It did nothing to help.
They said, "You should have just asked. We would have brought you one."
Good parents, Bruce responded.
Yes, Clark agreed. They let me spend my allowance anyway, and we bought me a telescope from the tourist store. Made its money using Smallville as an attraction for the meteor shower.
Bruce hummed in response. Clark's watery eyes met Bruce's again. He'd looked away during his explanation.
I wanted so bad for aliens to be real.
His voice broke again, and a tear fell from his eyes. It was an exhausting and overdone feeling.
They are, Bruce responded.
It was the wrong thing to say. Clark looked away. There was silence for a long time. Clark wanted to explain.
That's not the point.
He didn't have the energy to explain.
It's not about being right. It's about how I used to be grateful for this. Excited at the prospect of aliens. Be grateful for being who I am. I would give anything to not be Kryptonian right now.
Clark looked back at Bruce, who was still staring at him.
I want to be human.
I remember the first scary film I saw.
Clark tried again. He didn't have the energy to explain his emotions. But maybe he could manage another story.
I don't remember the name.
What was it about?
Bruce offered. Clark appreciated the bone.
I don't remember that either, he admitted. I just remember the ending.
Bruce let the silence stretch before he prodded with another.
Well?
Clark's eyes unfocused as he looked back at Bruce.
The world ended,
he whispered.
Apocalypse event. I thought about all the characters who weren't main characters. They must have been confused. They probably didn't understand what was going on. Why was their world ending? Did they die unprepared or get to say goodbye to their loved ones first?
Probably, Bruce agreed. Hopefully, it was fast and painless.
Fast and painless. Like a planet blowing up. Ruined from the inside and out. Drilled into its core and picked off with eugenics.
Bruce looked so tired.
Yes,
he whispered back.
I wanted to be an astronomer, Clark repeated.
He was a little bit delirious from the exhaustion, disassociation.
artificial kryptonite. I know.
I looked out to the stars every night.
I know.
I dreamed.
Clark remembered where he was.
Sorry,
he whispered. Bruce was silent for a long, long time. Finally, he answered,
It's okay.
This is probably hard for you.
Clark sobbed. His voice was a little louder now. Bruce could hear it when they tortured Clark. Kryptonians had naturally loud screams, a survival instinct they had evolved into, as their population slowly died out. Clark's screams echoed all the way back to Bruce, who had to hear it, and then hear them stop, and wonder if Clark was finally dead. It was harder, even, to not hear the screams. The longer the months stretched on, the less and less Bruce could hear Clark scream, and it was a sickening reminder that Clark was weaker, too weak to fight, even too weak to scream.
It's harder for you, Bruce deflected. I'm not the one they want.
Clark didn't have the energy to remember anything. Everything was so complicated.
I wanted to be an astronomer,
he repeated.
Did I, as a kid, already say that?
Yes,
Bruce answered solemnly.
This is probably hard for you.
It is.
Clark's heart beat in his chest. It was getting harder to fight the kryptonite every day.
I don't want to die,
he whispered.
I know,
Bruce responded. Clark sighed.
I have so much I still want to say. I don't want to die. I want to live so bad. I want to live. I want to see the sun again. I promised myself that I would die in the sun.
Clark remembered as a child. He used to dream for the sun to go down, so he could look at the stars, and then he would dream for it to come up, so he could feel its warmth.
Freshman year's homecoming, Clark said. Strung me up in a field.
Who did?
Bruce asked patiently, even though he already knew the story.
Whitney,
Clark answered, for he did not remember Bruce already knew the story.
I got to look at the stars. All night.
Bruce pitied him.
Glass half full.
Clark smiled.
That's you.
Clark's glass had not a drop of water in it. It couldn't be considered even a quarter full if he tried.
If I die?
Clark's brain was so fuzzy.
Peace, at last. Tell my parents. I say hi.
Died on his lips. He was confused as to why he even thought it.
Does kryptonite decline brain function?
Clark frowned. Prolonged exposure causes brain fog, Bruce repeated. He had already told Clark this so many times.
Reversible?
Bruce was silent. Hopefully, he finally said. Clark's shoulders shook. Fresh tears fell as the warmth from them was all the warmth he got.
Get us out of here,
he prayed quietly.
I'm trying, Bruce answered.
I don't want to die. Please.
Clark prayed.
You're going to be fine,
Bruce lied. Clark's shoulders shook.
I love you, me.
There was silence, then more silence, then more silence.
I love you too, Bruce answered,
barely a whisper. And the dripping silence returned, oppressive, until the morning came, and the sounds of screams would fill their ears again. Oppressive, just as oppressive as the silence, and painful. Clark would beg then, too, for them to not kill the last son of Krypton. He would think about his telescope, and when he was freed, he hoped
he would look up at the stars and wait for the sun to come up.
To the clarity of black space, where stars shine like tears on the night's face, with a cool wind. Mama, what happened? Never thought we'd go this long. Now 31 and I don't feel strong. And your love is all I want. When I was 7, I saw the first film that made me scared, and I thought of this whole world ending. I thought of dying unprepared. We moved into a real house, a wild field behind it. I wanted to be an inventor, collected scraps to make a portal. I wanted so much for magic to be real. So many dreams of flying, rising high over the crowd. And they'd go, oh man, look at her go. And I'd go, hospital when I was 14. My friends all left me there spinning. Dad was angry, but you saw everything. And you made me laugh as the nurses undressed me. You held my hand as they put the needle in me. I never saw you cry. Not until our dog died. And the whole family came back together. We held her body as they put the needle in her. And then I saw you cry. And then I saw you cry.